The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hello, Beauty News family.
We're back.
We are back. Looking just a little bit different.
A bit disheveled.
A bit disheveled.
So this video is a sort of follow-on from our awards. And I think we said in our awards that we wanted to do a follow-up video where we answer what we think, like, our answers to the sort of topics are. Because, you know, the awards are great that it's crowdsourced and you guys vote for the nominees and then, you know, who wins. But at the same time, it's sort of fun to delve into what we think each category, the answer should be.
Because we have opinions too.
We have opinions. And we know that you guys have opinions. So we thought that we can sort of create a tag where if you create videos, you can take the categories in the description box and you can answer them in a video, sort of like reflecting on 2019. Or you can just copy them into
a comment.
The comments.
Yeah.
And leave your answers, because it's nice to know what thousands of people think, but
it's also nice cool to know what individuals think as well.
And we look a little bit more disheveled compared to the video, the awards video, which we filmed about 7 hours ago.
Yeah.
We also filmed this about 6 hours ago.
Audio failed.
So it is 11:26 at night.
Yeah. We've just got back from dinner and hanging out with friends.
We're trying again.
Also, a little update. If you haven't seen the awards video and you would like to know more about what's happening here, there will be a link down in the description box. Mm-hmm. And also, we announced a giveaway in that video.
Yes.
So you should go and check it out.
You should. I think you should.
Let's dig into these
questions.
Is the
audio recording? Yes, I think it is. Thank
God. My
God.
Oh, it was the blurst of times.
Yes, that's true.
So, best trend of 2019, our audio system failing.
Yeah. Wait, that's the worst trend. And that has been a trend. Hopefully a trend that ends in 2019.
Yes.
Best trend?
Yes.
Look, I really liked the kind of color capsule or the capsule palette trend.
Mm.
I thought that was a really smart one because it's a nice way to inject certain elements into your collection. So, for example, if you want a lot more yellow eyeshadows, you can just buy a yellow palette instead of having to buy a whole palette for the one yellow.
Yes.
So I think it's a really efficient way to do things. I think it did sort of spark a lot of color loving, which is great if that's your kind of thing. So I did think that was a good one.
Yeah, I thought that was good as well. I liked the answer that actually won.
Yeah.
Which was a low buy, no buy, or responsible purchasing.
Yeah.
I thought that was really refreshing to see. And I think it's refreshing to see that people who watch us chose that. Because you can watch the news, but you don't have to partake in the news.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I think we often get a few different sides where we hear people that say, oh, I can't watch your episodes every week because it enables me to buy stuff. But then I hear a lot of people that say, I like watching them because I realize how repetitive everything is and I don't need to buy it because something else will come out next week, which is completely sort of how we view the industry. I think this trend is going to be one that's probably going to crop up more next year, the sort of conscious spending.
Yeah.
Because I think it's been something that's been in the works. Like, I think I've been doing Project Pants for like nearly 4 years now. We did a low buy in 2018. So I feel like it's just building momentum.
Yeah.
And if it was voted as the most, you know, popular trend, I think it's definitely something that I think next year people are going to get into big time, which I also think will lead on to worst trend.
Yes. The worst trend of 2019.
Yeah.
So for me, it was desk palettes.
Yeah.
Huge palettes. I discovered this year that I abhor them.
That's
They're atrocious.
They are.
They're too big to store. Yeah. They're cumbersome to use.
Yeah,
you don't need it all.
That's why I like the little capsule palettes is they're so easy to store and just grab a few out at the same time. But the lead on from the kind of conscious spending, my probably worst trend of this year was the weekly releases, the fast fashion releases, where I think people are just getting so bombarded with so much new stuff that they're fatigued by it all.
Yep.
I think it does one of two things to people. It either encourages them to spend if they're sort of in that really excited, makeup is fun, everything new is fun, and ColourPop's quite affordable, so I'll buy every new palette.
All of it.
So it really either like encourages spending and really like detrimental spending, or people just go, I've had enough. I can't even process this anymore. I need to cut this all out. Mm. And I think we've started seeing a backlash against brands like Anastasia ABH, Beverly Hills, ColourPop, Makeup Revolution, all these brands that just bring out a lot of stuff. I think people are starting to go, this is not for me.
It's too much.
I think that for me is probably one of the worst.
And I think it's fair. I think makeup should never be like fast fashion. It's just not.
Because if you look at how long it takes to use up an item.
Yeah.
And it's not like a dress that you're wearing to a party that you're like, oh, I can't wear it to the party next weekend because the same people will be there.
Yeah.
You can wear the same eyeshadow. You can wear the same lipstick.
Mate, no one can tell.
Only you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the best palette release of 2019.
This was a really hard one. Yeah. So we tried to answer this before when the audio was not working.
Struggling. Are you working now?
Yeah, I'm like checking back every minute.
I know.
Yeah, this was really hard for me. I think this year I lost a lot of passion with eyeshadow palettes.
Yeah.
And I think the only one that I could sort of come up with, I do like, and this is, once again, this is really personal because I do think there were some really cool releases out there. I look at the Melt Holiday Collection, like that was a rad collection, but it wasn't something I was going to use on a daily basis, so I didn't buy it. Natasha Denona Metropolis, I really sort of still want to buy that. But the thing, out of the things that I've bought, I have to say, I think the Coloured Rain Safari Rain palette was a big one for me because the quality was great, the colours were great, and it sort of made me delve into Coloured Rain where I hadn't previously done that. And now they're one of my favourite eyeshadow formulas.
Their formula is bomb. It's so good.
So I think that was sort of like the gateway drug for me.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that about it. But in terms of like really best releases, I don't know if it was the best palette out there, but it meant something to me.
I'm actually going to mention right now the Manier Miuet Moonspell palette.
Yeah.
Majorly popular, beautiful formula, nice colour story, sick packaging.
Yeah.
I reckon it's up there with some of the best.
Yeah, I think it stands out. There's only a few palettes actually that stand out as being like memorable palettes in a sea of just bland. Another trend that I did not like, and it's been going on for a couple of years, but it's got to stop in 2020. Pop of blue.
Oh, get fucked. Pop of anything.
Pop of colour. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
If you're if you're a brand and you're still doing that in 2020, you are so fucking far behind the trends that, like, you're lost.
Because you could have...
We're leaving you behind.
Yeah, like, you could have palettes with nice, beautiful, cohesive, like, colour stories, and they can have colours in there, but it's got to not be a standout pop of blue or a pop of green or a pop of yellow. It's got to be a cohesive story.
It just looks, it looks ridiculous. It looks like a sore thumb in a fucking eyeshadow palette.
True. But also, even if the colour is pretty, it's there to entice people to buy something that's generally fairly bland.
Yeah. And take away that colour.
Yeah. And then it's generally just a bland palette you've already got. But also one thing that really frustrates me about it is that it pops out because it's a really highly contrasting colour to what's around it, which means that it doesn't generally work with the colours around it. So the pop of whatever palettes, they don't work because they don't work cohesively with the palette. Do I like colour in palettes?
Yeah.
Sure.
But I
not
don't...
a fucking random pop of neon green in a bloody brown palette. No.
I agree. Fair. Well, let's leave it
pink,
behind.
My God, the pop of neon fucking pink.
Yeah.
Get it out of here.
How about worst palettes of 2019? Anything with a pop of whatever in it. Look, for me, there's a few that come to mind. Ciate Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah.
That was a woeful, sad piece of shit and it had so much potential.
It did.
It should never have made it to market. And whoever approved that formula is a goddamn fool. I'm not even going to sugarcoat that shit because that palette...
That was a piece of crap.
That palette is actually unusable and crap. It is
atrocious. If you can't actually get something from the pan to the brush to your eye, It's not. It should not be put into manufacturing.
It's not okay.
It should not be made.
No, it shouldn't.
Yeah, it's a load of trash.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I reckon for me, like, I don't really have a standout, really horrible palette. Like, there's a lot that I'm like, what the fuck was that? I'm just going to say the sheer number of BH Cosmetics and Makeup Revolution palettes that were the same every single fucking week.
Yeah.
Or the BH, what are the fucking star sign ones?
The astrology collection. Yeah,
that was trash. Trash. Never used them.
No.
For a reason.
My mum's worried about me. Are you okay? Yes. Don't worry.
We're not usually filming this late.
We're not usually out this late. some others that come to mind.
Jeannie.
Hi, Mum. Some others that come to mind. The Besme Snow White palette.
Yeah.
Sleeping Beauty.
Yes. Yeah,
Sleeping Beauty palette.
Yeah, it wasn't this year's
That
one.
Could have been better. It really could have. Not 100% shit. Beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
Some of the shades are actually good, but
could have been a lot better.
Could have been.
Especially for the money.
For the money, for the effort that was put into it, the potential that was there fell a little bit
flat.
It
looks like they put all the effort into the packaging.
Yeah. Into the mirror.
That's true. The mirror's great. Love the mirror.
Mirror was
If there was a category for best mirror,
it would be the Besme. The nominees are Besme, Sleeping Beauty,
Shane
Dawson, Black Piggy Mirror.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the most unique product release of 2019.
This is an interesting one because the way I view this is a product that we haven't really seen before.
Yeah,
and I feel like 2019 was the year of regurgitation. So I think 2018 we started seeing multi-chromes and cool liners and stuff like that. So I think that was a more innovative year. In my opinion.
Yeah, there was a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there was like cool indie releases. Yeah. There were like neon liners and there were this and there was that. And multi-chrome pigments. Whereas 2019 was same old, same old. I feel like we were just fucking going around on a wheel.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that comes to mind when I think of something that I haven't seen before would be the Huda sort of like re-stickable
lash glue.
Haven't used it, but it's something that I was like, okay, I don't need it. I'm okay with sticking like lashes on, but I hadn't seen something like that before.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's actually
the
unique.
The concept behind it is unique. We don't know if it works because we haven't tried it, but the concept is unique. I would agree with that.
Yeah. I think the winners in that category or the nominees that people selected, I didn't find them to be particularly unique.
No.
They were just...
I do think the incredible... Bowdy Winkle collection was a little bit unique in how they had chosen their like influencer and what they had created. But
it was boob masks.
It was boob masks. There was a highlighter that looked like Bowdy. Yeah. You know, like that was
cool.
Pretty cool. But not really a whole lot of innovation there.
Yeah, it was unique.
It was unique.
But the other options like the Holo Taco
polishes, like guys,
or Tati Beauty palette.
You've been under a rock. You need to look at Indie Nail polishes.
Yeah, look at hashtag Indie Nail polish.
Yeah, you'll be blown away.
Yes.
There's some cool shit going on out there.
And has been for a long time.
A long, long time.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do the best collaboration of 2019.
Oh, this one's a hard one.
We struggled with this.
Yeah, we tried to answer this before. The only one I could come up with, and to be fair, over the last 6 hours since when we filmed this before, I haven't thought about it. No. There could be better ones.
There could be.
But the one that I came to mind was the Anastasia Beverly Hills Alyssa Edwards palette. Did buy it. Haven't used it.
Me neither.
But I bought it because it's one that I wanted to support. I really like Alyssa Edwards as a drag queen. I think she's great, very entertaining. And I think at the time was when Anastasia Beverly Hills still had a pretty good reputation.
Mm.
I still really love the formula of those palettes. So I thought it was a really good pairing. And I think it was a little bit different and out of the normal collaboration with an influencer.
Yep.
They've since gone down that path and created collaborations with influencers and Norvina and whatever. But I feel like that was different. Like it wasn't different, but it was like it was
a
something,
little bit different. I liked it. Was the, a twist on something.
Yeah, and it meshed well.
Yeah.
It meshed really well. Like the brand is one of the sponsors of RuPaul's Drag Race, so it makes sense. And I just thought that was, wasn't exactly like a palette I needed in my daily life, obviously, because I've had it for like 6 months and haven't used it.
I know.
But it was one I thought was a good...
The Norvina palette from 2018, haven't used it.
I've used it. I haven't used it for ages, though.
So bad. I'm actually going to say one of the nominees. Mm-hmm. So the Shuamura Pikachu collection.
Like that too.
I just think the way that they made the little play on words, and they always do their holiday collections very well. Mm-hmm. They do them justice. Their products are very good quality. I think that was a good one. That was clever.
Can I add on that?
Mm.
What about the Shiramura and Naomi?
That was really fun.
I really liked those as well.
With the kisses and the lipsticks on the boobs the butt and stuff. So good.
So even though we didn't have access to that and it was just like picking new lipsticks, I thought it was a cool campaign.
That was really cool. They did do well with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They showed a bit of sass with that one.
I liked it.
Worst collaboration of 2019. All of them.
Yeah. This has been a big collaboration year, and I don't think it's a good thing. I think it almost becomes so repetitive and so white noise, sort of murking the waters, that nothing stands out as being great.
Mm.
So for me, it was a year of, okay, there were a few collaborations that stand out because they were big collaborations. I'm thinking Shane Dawson, Jeffree Star. I'm thinking, you know, some big ones, but the rest of it was just like muddying the waters. It was just muck down the bottom.
Yeah.
So there was a lot
Makeup
that I didn't
Revolution
like.
And 60,000 influencers and releasing like the same products
and
over
and over.
BH
Cosmetics.
Yeah.
And ColourPop and 14,000 Kathleen Lights collections,
and
which was just
Becky
repackaging
and
the fucking blushes.
My God. Like, can we not? Can we just do something fresh and different?
Yeah. It
please.
And James Charles.
Oh my God.
Mini palette of the same palette that came out last year. Like, it's just... Because it's an anniversary, like you've used up your
like
whole James
so
Charles palette in that year.
It's so important that now we need a mini one.
Yeah.
No one needs it.
No.
No one wants it. Like the only people who bought it were diehard fans and people who were like, well, I actually liked the color story, but there was no fucking way I wanted a big Morphe palette.
Yeah.
So I got it in a mini, which is totally fair.
And
it should have been a mini in the first place.
I agree. That's a smarter move. And if you hit pan on it, bring out a bigger one. So that, but... Yes, there were a lot.
There were a lot. Look, I'm going to say all of the nominees that you guys chose for the worst collaboration, Tarte Lily Pons, I agree, complete trash. Morphe James Charles, just talked about that. Riley Rose and the Cheetos collection. Like, nobody wants that. Nobody, no sane person wants that. Fucking Too Faced and Erica Jane with a disastrous mess collection. Appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But the last one that we should talk about is Urban Decay Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that one. See, that one, the collection wasn't a shit show.
Yeah.
There was half decent, half just average.
Yeah. How did they mess up that Sansa lipstick? I'm still bitter about that.
If you can't do a nude lipstick right,
you
get the
right
fuck
up.
Out of town.
Yeah, I agree.
Get out of town.
I agree.
Yeah.
That lipstick literally just needed to be the colour that it was in the bullet and it would have been perfect. None
but
of
it was
this
some
weird,
sort of...
sheer, but white base with a little bit that clings and...
It's like those milky lip glosses that settle into lines and emphasize... Anyway,
disgusting.
Yeah. I think the liners were good. The eyeshadow palette wasn't bad.
Yeah.
The quality was
fine.
The
quality was good.
The lipsticks were...
Not
average
good.
At best.
Yeah.
The highlighter palette was uninspired.
So boring.
The brush handles were cool. The actual brushes were garbage. So, you know, there was it was a 50-50 mix.
Those dragon drops.
Oh, yeah.
So bad.
Those.
My
so,
God.
So I think the thing with that collection that was so disappointing was that it's so expensive and it was such a well-loved property that if you don't do it to the level of what Besame does with their collections,
exactly.
Get out of town.
Yeah, I agree.
Pack your bags and get the fuck out. And they just didn't step up to the plate.
Yeah.
Like collectors like us who love Game of Thrones, I'm looking at my bookshelf over here and I've got my Game of Thrones whiskies.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be putting Game of Thrones whiskies on a bookshelf like this crazy person, you're going to buy the fucking makeup thing. Yeah. I'm going to put on my bookshelf, my box set, because I haven't used it since reviewing it.
No, because it's not really that interesting.
That teal liner was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I tried to buy a backup and the motherfuckers, I put it in my cart when I went to go pay, out of stock. And I'm like, you should not let me put it in the cart if it's fucking out of stock.
Rude.
You're rude.
All right, let's do the best drugstore release of 2019, because I've got 4% battery and we've still got questions to go through. Six of them.
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't really try anything drugstore-ish.
I tried a few things, but once again, the things that I buy tend to be replacements like things I've been using for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like the Fit Me concealer and the A3 wine and things
that
I really love.
Something that released 1 or 2 years ago that I haven't picked up yet.
Yeah, I think the thing that I enjoyed the most this year from the drugstore was the Revlon Candid Foundation.
Yeah.
It was a really nice everyday foundation, wears nicely on sort of slightly oily skin, looks really natural, feels really nice. It was a really beautiful foundation. So that's probably my favourite thing I tried that released this year.
I think, like, you know, we'll consider Colourpop a drugstore brand because of their affordability.
Yeah, the price point.
And I did like their little colour capsule palettes. Mm-hmm. I picked up a few of them. I also really did like that they were delving into coloured mascaras and liners, and not all of them were great formula.
They varied
but
so much.
Yeah, some of them are bang on.
Mm-hmm.
The Coral Mascara is great.
Oh, really?
But yeah.
The blue one is
trash.
Crumbly. It looks cool.
Yeah.
But you put it on and you like feel
I've
like
got
it's
a,
like little fucking flakes off.
Yeah, I've got a cream gel pot. I think it's in Joyride, and I put it on the other day and I was like, I'm not using this again. It's going in the bin.
Yeah, that's
it's
another thing.
Yeah.
Black one works really great. Burgundy one is average. Purple one is dry from the moment you open it.
Yeah.
They vary so much.
This one was interesting because it's really creamy and soft when you dip a brush in it, but when you put it on your eye, it's just
nothing there.
It's just, it's like it's got no smoothness to it. It's just,
I also found that they're pencils, they're retractable pencils.
Yep.
I had a couple and I'd put on my waterline and it was literally like you blink and it's gone.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are not good.
Like,
some are great though.
Yeah. And, that, and
I
I mentioned that, people are just like, oh, I thought they were like, I use them and they're fantastic. It varies wildly from shade to shade.
Yeah.
So great that they're bringing
them out.
You're
never guaranteed.
But the consistency is not there.
Yeah.
And that's what's hard, especially since you can't try it in store.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to take a punt.
Yeah. Do one of these.
Here's Boogie.
Hello, Boogie. Come and inspect
the new area. He's like, what are you guys doing? It should be bedtime.
Yeah. Mom, let's go to bed very soon.
He's got sleepy eyes.
So the next category is the best higher end or luxury release of 2019.
We ummed and ahed over this, and then when we finally like
clicked.
It's like a light bulb to the brain.
Yeah.
It's like, duh. The Smashbox foundation was fantastic, motherfucker.
The 24
and that's why I've
studio.
Had my makeup on since 9 a.m. It's nearly midnight. It still looks good. It's fucking Smashbox, baby.
Yeah, it's so good.
I love
that foundation. We also, I mentioned the Victoria Beckham Smoky Eye Quad. So the little eyeshadow palettes. The one in tweed is beautiful.
It is pretty.
I really, really love that. And she also made beautiful eyeliners.
That eyeliner.
They're fabulous.
If you want a good eyeliner.
Oh, yeah. They're really, really good. Top notch.
Yeah. If I was to place another order, would buy it for the eyeliners.
Yeah.
But probably wouldn't pay shipping for a black and a like a
The shipping is too much.
Yeah, like I think we got the burgundy one, which is
if
you want a burgundy eyeliner, it is phenomenal.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with
but
that.
But there's like a bronze and a black, and I'm like, I'm not paying shipping for a bronze and black.
No.
I've got fucking drawers full of bronze and black. But if I was
totally
placing an order, chuck in the liners. They are the best. They're
that,
very, very good.
Mm. That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can I say another thing?
Yeah.
Hourglass Caution Extreme Lash Mascara.
Yeah, that came out this year, didn't it?
Yeah, what a good fucking mascara.
That mascara took me by surprise. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so good.
I've got two samples. I've been hoarding them like a psycho. I need to use them.
I don't think I have any, but I want to mention it in my favorites of 2017. So good. But my mission next year is to use up as many mascaras or give away unopened ones to like my mom
and
stuff.
So you can just buy it.
So I can just buy the one
and live on that. Yeah. That to date, that has been my favorite mascara, and I do feel that it's worth the money.
Shit, yeah. And it's not even that much compared to like Lancôme and stuff.
No.
Cheaper.
Yeah.
I like it. Great mascara. It is fantastic. Glad I remembered that one.
Yes. Put it on the wish list.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do the best indie release of 2019.
Okay. This is
hard.
This is hard because for me, I haven't, like, I think 2018 was a year of a lot of indie purchases.
Yes.
I want to make a statement about a collection I really liked the look of. I didn't buy, but I really, really vibed with the aesthetics and what they did. Melt.
Amora Turno. Absolutely.
That
I agree.
Was one of the most like inspiring looking collections.
Yeah, I agree.
And if I was sort of really inspired by creative makeup and color and pushing myself with using different colors, I would have bought that in a fucking heartbeat.
Yeah.
But right now I'm sort of in the
don't buy.
Amplify my features.
Yeah.
I can't be bothered right now.
Yeah, I agree.
At the most, I might put a bit of texture on my eye with a bit of duochrome or a bit of glitter. So for me, it wasn't really something I knew it was more of a collector's thing if I was to buy it, and I just am not into that.
Also, I agree with that. I'm also going to say Coloured Rain, Safari Rain, and the Power Collection. Because I reckon their formula is top notch and they are nice collections. If you're into those sort of murky brown colours with the Safari Rain, or if you're into purples with the Power Collection. I've got the Power Collection coming to me tomorrow. I'm actually quite excited about it.
You're like, let me go to bed.
Yeah, I know. God.
So I can go get it.
Let's do it.
Hey, guys. It's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's do the best overall brand of 2019. Struggled with this one as well.
I struggled with this one. I agree with what the poll said in a sense that I think the brand that kept pushing trends
was Colourpop. I agree.
I feel like they were, okay, yes, they were releasing something new every week or three things that are new every week or three collections that were new every week, but they were the ones that were pushing, like, they were the first time we saw an all grey eyeshadow palette. And we've seen a couple since, but that was like, they're like, you asked for it, here it is.
Yeah.
In Broken, episode one, they talk about how ColourPop can be so quick with their releases. Yeah. They talk about how they actually don't have much of a warehouse where they stock things, like stockpile things. They just have a really efficient manufacturing process where they can make things really fast.
Yeah.
So pretty much make them and then ship them. And that's why they can save money on costs because they're not warehousing.
Yeah.
But it means that they said something like they can turn around a product in like 5 days.
Wow. So you order the stuff and they make it to
I don't think
order,
they make it to order, but it's almost like that. If they start getting requests for like, I want a black and white palette or a gray palette, they could be like, how long will it take packaging to get this done?
Yeah.
And now let's pump out. They could just do it really, really fast. It was ridiculous how they were describing it. But it means that they're on the pulse with things that are sort of interesting.
Yep.
They had some cool collaborations. with some influencers, you know, Disney things and whatnot. So I really think they were pushing things rather than just following, which is really nice to see. But I think for me, just realizing the Hourglass mascara, I think a brand that I get excited about when I see their releases is Hourglass.
Yeah, I'm always a little bit excited to see what they'll bring out next.
Yeah, this year wasn't a huge year for them. Like, they had their holiday stuff. They had a few cool duo packs. So, like, the Valentine's Day one, they had some Christmas ones. The mascara is bomb-ass.
Yeah.
And they had their foundation as well this year.
Oh, they did. And that's not a bad foundation.
That's not a bad foundation.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite hit the Smashbox one for me.
No.
But it is a nice foundation.
With wear time.
Yeah.
Oh, before the camera rudely cut me off, I was saying that that might be nice on normal and dry skin.
Yeah, I think the key to that one is the how they describe how to use it, which is limit it to like half to one pump and then buff it in rather than like sponging it on or something. You really need to work it in, which is the opposite of Smashbox.
Smashbox,
you need to...
Yeah.
Whereas this requires some buffing, but it can look really, really beautiful on the skin. So they brought out lip glosses this year.
They did, and they're nice.
Yeah.
They're not, I mean, they're not mind-blowing. They brought out their thin brow.
Micro brow pencil.
And that is actually good. I do like that. Mm-hmm. It's, again, I mean, it's not...
Tinted lip oils came out this year.
They're not, earth-shattering, but they're quality.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I find I try their products and I'm like...
Yeah.
Generally, I'm quite impressed.
Yeah.
So, not an innovative brand by any means, but I do think it's a brand that's on my radar.
Quite good, yeah. Yeah. All right, what about
worst? Did you pick one?
I didn't, but I feel like I don't really know. I feel I'm more passionate about the next category.
Fair.
So, let's do it. Worst overall brand of 2019. And we both said simultaneously in the last video... House Laboratories.
Yes. So the one that was voted by you guys by landslide was Jaclyn Hill or Jaclyn Cosmetics. And we said that we wouldn't have picked that as the worst brand because she had a major, massive fucker.
Yeah.
But her intentions weren't lazy or shit. Like,
okay, I don't believe they were.
I don't believe they were. No, I think was inexperience.
Yeah.
And choosing a shitty manufacturer. Yeah. Not going through the quality control and learning the hard way, which I think would have cost her a fuck ton of money. Look, she deserved it. She put out a faulty product.
Yeah.
But I don't think, like, I think she came in with a decent idea, which was like 20 shades or 30 shades of nude lipstick.
Yeah.
You know, not the most interesting, but she was almost trying to do a Fenty with foundations, but doing it with nude lipstick.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get where she was coming from. I think it came from a good place and she just fucked up.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Fenty, not Fenty, House Labs could have done a Fenty, where my brain was going, and really changed the market.
Yeah.
And they had such great potential and they fell flat. They just were so lazy with it. I can't forgive it.
I look at House Labs now and I don't see anything to do with Lady Gaga. I don't see any inspiration. I don't see any love. I don't see any passion. I see Amazon.
Yeah.
That's it. Just Amazon.
Yeah.
The quality of the makeup is fine. It's not mind-blowing. There's nothing amazing happening there. I don't feel like it's authentic and I don't want to support it.
Yeah, I think also it's just more of the expectations versus reality.
Mm.
And what we discussed when we recorded this last time was I spent a good hour or two trying to find out what her position in the company is and I can't find anything.
There's no official position.
There's no official position.
She doesn't own the company.
She does. She's not an owner. She's not an investor from what I can see. She's not a creative director. She's got... no real official title. So it almost feels like she's just the face of the brand. And so for me...
And that's what turned me off it. When I was like, I can't find how she's linked to this in any way other than articles and shit saying...
And photo shoots.
Yeah. Oh, new brand from Lady Gaga. I'm like, that means nothing.
But also, isn't House Laboratories, which was the one that created the perfumes, owned by another company.
That's what I thought.
Like,
yeah.
It's really bizarre, but I just, for me, I feel like what happens in the process is someone's come to her with like a dossier of like, here's what you can have in your collection. What do you want to release? And she's like, tick, 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 tick. Yeah, that'll do. Black eyeliner, lip gloss,
yeah.
Nude eyeshadow palette. Cool. Red lipstick. Let's do it. But it's, I don't think she's actually put her creative energy into creating products.
No.
I can't see it. And if that is her creative energy, she needs to take a nap because she's tired. Like, I don't associate that. Like, if you actually took off the name and took off her image, no one would connect that with her.
No, you wouldn't.
No one would. And I feel like that's such a missed opportunity, especially in this market where there's so much color and texture and glitter and craziness going on. She could even be making like fucking UV makeup for all we know. I know. Like, she could be doing the craziest shit, glow in the dark makeup, all that kind of crap. And she brings out a black eyeliner and
face stickers,
lip glosses and a lip line. Like, it's just,
and shimmery eyeshadow, liquid eyeshadow. Like, it's so.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I think that was a bigger disappointment. Like, the Jaclyn Hill thing was drama.
Mm.
Whereas this is a bigger disappointment all round.
Makeup wise, 100%.
Yes. Yeah, release wise, brand wise.
We did mention another one.
Oh, yeah. Runner up for that, for similar reason, not as offensive. I found Trixie Cosmetics was one that I was quite excited for, similar to the collaboration with ABH and Alyssa Edwards. I was like, I like Trixie Mattel. This would be really cool. And then she brought out non-eye safe glitter in tubs at an exorbitant price.
And a pink lipstick. And eventually a little palette.
Yeah, only recently.
Only recently. Yeah.
But like shilling fucking
glitter
from a craft store with a jacked up price. And they were literally just like stars or like, you know. Just,
I know. Unbelievable.
And there was some eye safe glitter. But once again, it was just.
It's.
Go to
ridiculously priced glitter.
Yeah.
Like, you can get it cheaper elsewhere, and she's just put it in a little pot.
But if you look at, like, glitter wholesalers, you could actually pinpoint
where it's come from.
She'd picked two glitters and mixed them together.
I know. It's kind of, I don't actually consider that brand a brand.
It's merchandise.
To me, it's not, like, it's not even on my radar.
No.
It's not, it's not creating anything relevant or interesting.
It's not adding to a community. It's just creating merchandise for fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I think that is.
Yeah.
It's not like this is my passion project. I've been loving makeup forever and this
Does
is
she
what...
even wear glitter? I feel like I've never seen an image with glitter on her.
Oh, well, if you look for them, you find them, but they're mainly since she's released the brand. Okay. I find.
Yeah.
But if you think of Trixie Mattel, you think of like things like the eyeliner and lashes
like,
and like
big eyes that she does.
That's
like,
that's what she should have started with.
It makes no sense. It's another one of those situations where it doesn't feel like the person is within the brand.
Last year though, did a similar thing with fucking Sugar Pill.
Yeah, exactly.
The collaboration was bland as fuck.
Absolute shitballs.
At least it was makeup and not just glitter.
What about that one that was done with the collaboration that was Sleek with...
Oh, with, was it Miss Fame?
Yes.
That was a piece of shit. Was that this year?
Yes, it was this year.
Oh my God, that was worse than the Game
of
Thrones.
Where they just bundled some
old
trash.
Shit.
Yeah.
Old trash. Like a liquid lipstick. Like
palette.
A face palette or something. And, oh my God.
Unacceptable.
That
absolutely
was
unacceptable.
Like
cash grab.
That
trash.
Was a mystery bag, but it wasn't a mystery. It was they just put a face on it.
Yeah.
That was the same shit as trying to get rid of fucking excess stock in a mystery bag.
Not cool.
Nope. It was really bad.
All right, let's do the best overall product of 2019. I can't even remember what we said earlier.
I don't think we got to this point. This is when we realized our thing went.
Our thing was not working.
Damn it, now we're thinking on our feet.
Shit. Well, this is the second last one.
Uh-huh.
I do have to say, in terms of palettes, I'm repeating myself, Coloured Rain, Hourglass Mascara, definitely up there, and the
Smashbox
Foundation.
Yeah, I think that is probably where our heart lies, but once again, I feel like It's hard though, because best overall release, it's like, is it what we've tried or is it what we like the concept of? So that makes it very, very difficult. Like we haven't tried the Tati palette, but I really like where she went with
that. I think the concept of that was fab.
I think that was really good.
Smart.
I think props to that. Also the Melt Holiday Collection. Like there's been a few good things that have come out that we just haven't tried.
And I will say, I think Tati definitely did something a bit different with her palette. Mm-hmm. While she wasn't like totally reinventing the wheel, the way that she like chose colors and textures and laid the palette out was sort of like,
it was
clever and it was different.
I think what I like the most about it, even though I haven't used it, is that right now, like I was saying, I like to play with different textures in looks. So I like to stick to colors that on a daily basis, I know that works for me, but I like to sometimes make it more matte, sometimes make it more, you know, metallic, and then sometimes make it glittery. And she sort of had that ability that you can go through the different color stories, which I thought was really smart. So, yeah, it probably wasn't like the best product of the year, but it's one of the standout ones, I think. Yeah. So it's been a long fucking year.
It has. It has. It's hard to remember everything.
I know. It is.
All right, how about we do the last one?
Yes.
Worst overall product of 2019. Look, 90% of it, to be fair.
We dodged a lot of bullets, I think, this year.
Yeah, by not buying as much or just buying things that released previously.
They had good reviews for years and, like, I can finally try it. Look, I'm going to say probably, look, this is going to sound a bit shit, but I think if you look at what everyone, in the scheme of things, the thing that was released that was the biggest fucking flop was the Jaclyn Hill lipsticks.
Yeah.
A lot of them had holes and hairs and fucking sweatiness and whatever. So I think that was a shit product. Yeah. If you received that, you would be mad as hell.
Yeah. And fair. Totally fair.
But I think when it just comes to, in general, like the concepts that I didn't like, again, there's a sea of shit that we can talk about.
There's a sea of crap.
Just look at Makeup Revolution, their back catalogue. Just look at the shit, some of the shit that fucking, I don't know, a lot of these brands put out. And it's just like, hey, where do I start? What about that fucking, didn't Elf bring out a massive like 100-pan palette this year for holidays? Yeah. Get that fucking shit away from me.
What are you doing? Why? I just, like, what is the good reason for that?
I don't know.
Like, there's not really one, is there?
Not that I can think of.
I'll get it for my cousin who really likes makeup, but I can't afford to buy anything really nice. Then just buy one small palette. It doesn't have to be a desk palette. It's going to be the worst quality. It's literally going to smell like chalk.
Synthetic shoes.
Yeah, like just open it up and have a whiff. They stink. It'll knock you out. Like, I just think about how cheap and nasty those products are, and you're putting them around your eyes.
I'm not.
No, I'm not. And I don't think anyone should.
Yeah.
It's trash.
Yeah. There's been a lot of stuff that just...
So much.
Not like... Once again, not like horrible, horrible, horrible. I think probably when it comes, like I said, Jaclyn Hill lipsticks, there were faults. Probably the thing that I lived vicariously through Hailey, that Ciate, fucking Ciate palette was unusable. Like you touch it and it seals up. Like it's not, if you can't actually physically get it on your eye, it's not usable.
It's not even, it's not,
that's
it's useless.
That's called a bad product.
That's
a product
trash. A product that you cannot have made.
Yeah.
To shelf.
Absolutely. A product that you cannot actually put on your face is a bad product.
Yeah.
Other products can be uninspired and boring and do we need it and what the fuck and da da da. But that was a bad product.
And there was no excuse for that. I'll never forgive Ciate for that.
No, and I think I'm gonna think long and hard before I ever get tempted by a Ciate palette.
Absolutely.
Because that has like burnt me vicariously through Hailey.
Yeah.
So I would say that was probably up there as well, because you know, at least pick out the hairs and the lumps and you can use Jaclyn Hill's lipstick.
Fair. And to be fair, I probably wouldn't buy another Besame palette again.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Burnt by the Sleeping Beauty.
I mean, I look at them and I can understand why people buy them for collector's pieces, but I do like to be able to use my makeup, and I've been trying to like do that more, use my makeup that I buy. And I won't get rid of that palette because it is really beautiful and I spent a lot of money on it, but I can't actually use it.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it is literally a waste of space now.
Yeah.
So,
and
yeah,
an expensive waste of space.
Absolutely. That palette was over $100 Australian. For what? Like, it's not acceptable. And then especially when you look at things like the mirror in comparison.
Or you look at like much cheaper, better quality eyeshadows like Colored Rain.
Like what happened? I don't understand what happened there.
Yeah. I think I sort of feel like as you get burnt by shitty products, you sort of become more wise and you're like,
yeah. Yeah.
You stay over there.
Yeah.
And it sucks because you get a little bit bitter about things, but at the same time,
yeah. And sometimes you
don't want trash.
Move away from brands completely where you're like, I don't even recognize you as like a reputable brand anymore. You're dead to me. And then they lose your monies. And that's what they really want at the end of the day.
That's
your
true.
Money, my money, her money, everyone's money.
Money.
We're going to wake up Darren.
Oh, poor thing. Oh, well.
Oh, well. All right, guys. We do hope you enjoyed this little video.
Yes.
And
the delusional midnight.
I'm a bit sad that we lost the audio for the last one because we were ranty and raving. We were very passionate in that video.
True.
And now we're like, we are very old ladies who are very tired.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We've surpassed our bedtime. But we hope you enjoyed it. And if you have a YouTube channel and you're watching this and you want to answer these, please do.
Mm-hmm.
And let us know.
Yes.
Maybe we should use a hashtag.
We'll make one up and put it in the description box and maybe in the title.
Yes.
You can click on it and see other people's answers.
See other people who are doing it.
Beauty News Awards tag.
Yes. Let's do it. All right, guys. We do hope you enjoyed this video and we'll see you in the next one. And I think we need to say Happy New Year. Is that right? Is
yeah.
Is this going to go up?
Because our next video will go up after New Year's. Happy New Year's,
Happy
guys.
New Year,
we'll
guys.
See you in 2020.
Have a safe one. We love you.
Mwah.
Mwah. Bye.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.